Well, hello everyone. Hope you're settled in. Get your coffee ready. Got a lovely pot of gas here. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. We're going to be reviewing Matt Goodwin's disastrous debate performance, trying to defend his AI slop, his error-riddled AI slop book. Now, you might be thinking that Matt Goodwin's had enough of a kicking. I only wrote an article last week that you can find on the Substack, as well as two videos, as well as three video sections from the Lotus Eaters, another SmackDown from Carl Benjamin, another SmackDown from Connor Tomlinson, another SmackDown from The Spectator, and just this morning, another SmackDown from The Spectator. He's being kicked by the New Statesman. He's being kicked left, right, center. Now, you might think he's had enough, but he has not had enough. He needs to be hit again and again and again and again before he doesn't show his face in the public anymore. He needs to be fired from reform. He needs to go and sit in his little cut caravan, okay, and have a long, hard think about himself. So we're going to be reviewing this. It's going to be fun. Little bit of fun this morning. Why not? You know, spring is here, and I've got a spring in my step this morning. So let us have a watch of Goodwin versus this leftist guy. Just before we get going, pick up a course at the Academic Agency, the mega bundle, selling like hotcakes. That's all of my courses in one lovely package, apart from Foundations of Shakespeare, which you have to buy separately. But still, you're getting a huge education for a very small price. So pick all of that up. Pick up courses from other people too. Foundations of Geometry is the newest one. And then let's watch Goodwin.
A bit different show tonight because it's been the talk of the town in Westminster this week. GB News presenter, academic and former Reform UK.
Now, I know enough about GB News, not that I'm a regular viewer of it or anything. But that is not Dubes, right? There's a show called Dubes and Co. That woman there is not Dubes. That's a sit-in for Dubes. Let's carry on.
A parliamentary candidate, Matt Goodwin, has published his latest book. It's fair to say it's kicked up something of a storm. In the book titled Suicide of a Nation, Goodwin explains why he believes mass immigration and multiculturalism have driven Britain into a spiral of decline. The book has reached number 6 on Amazon's bestsellers list. But critics claim that Goodwin has relied too much on artificial intelligence.
He's buying it himself. I've seen him with massive stacks of books right next to him. Now, when I've published books in the past, the publisher sends you a couple of author copies, right? So for Populist Illusion, I was given 6 author, for every book ever that I published, you know, the Shakespeare ones and so on, they give you 6 author copies that you can do what you want with. You know, here's a copy, mum, et cetera, et cetera. You don't have massive stacks of books around you. Now, obviously, Goodwin has self-published this book, and he's probably got like a bulk order of his own books. Wouldn't surprise me that he's been gated to find out. I mean, this is a man so sleazy, right? This is a man so sleazy that he would resort to using AI to write a book for him, right, to cut corners. Why wouldn't he buy copies of his own book? I have never met a single person who likes Matt Goodwin. So who's buying this book? Anyway, let's carry on.
Intelligence to write the book, that it contains errors and some of the numbers just don't add up. Well, the controversy has sparked furious arguments online and coverage in major news outlets such as The Times, The New Statesman, The Spectator, The Critic, and Unheard. And this morning, Matt Goodwin published a response to his critics in the Daily Mail. Now, one of the first people to publicly critique the book was the writer and commentator and regular GB News contributor Andy Twells. Now, Andy's thread on X, formerly Twitter, and later a piece in The Spectator, has gathered over 1.3 million views. So what's the truth? Does Matt Goodwin's book stand up to scrutiny? Are his critics motivated by political differences rather than a desire for truth? Well, tonight we can exclusively bring you the live debate that everyone's been waiting for.
Go on, Andy. Go on. Do him in. Do him in. Come on, our lad.
head-to-head between Matt Goodwin and Andy Twelves, only on GB News, the home of free speech. Matt, Andy, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Thanks for being willing to have this debate. Now, you're both going to have the chance to set out your arguments in a minute. But since this is a slightly different show from a normal Friday night on Jubes & Co., I will just set out the terms of the debate. So both of you will have 2 minutes of uninterrupted time to set out your stall. Then I'm going to ask Andy to offer the first of his challenges. Matt, you'll have a chance to respond. After the break, we'll continue that debate with Andy offering challenges, Matt responding, and you'll both have 1 minute each to sum up your arguments before...
So excited. I'm so excited, are you? Come on.
Before we continue with the rest of the show. So thank you both. So, Matt, you're going to go first. We've got 2 minutes to set out your story about your book. Off we go.
Yeah, well, before we get into the debate, let me tell people why I wrote this book, Suicide of an...
What an absolute shill. having done many interviews and things, you know, where you take the book along, and there's usually a moment where he's literally straight in there. Let me advertise the book. Let me shill the book even more.
Nation, because I believe... Nobody is telling the British and the English people the truth about what is happening in our country and what is about to happen. What I draw on in this book is an enormous amount of data to show that by the end of this century, the share of our population that will be white British will collapse from over 70% to 33%. The share of people who are foreign-born or the immediate children of the foreign-born will rise from 19% to over 60%, and the share of people who are following Islam will rise from 1 in every 17 people today to 1 in every 4. Now, I wrote this book over the period of 4 months away from...
Can I just say that, you know, regardless of what you make on the overall direction of what Goodwin is saying, I did see that one of the underlying assumptions in Goodwin's book that he failed to account for was that he, at some point, fails to differentiate between... I'll tell you what, I'll let it play and I'll pull up the exact statistics so I don't get it wrong. Hold on a minute.
My friends and family, because I think the British people deserve to know the truth. And I deliberately did not publish the book with a mainstream publisher, because publishing, in case people out there haven't noticed, has been completely captured by woke activists and sensitivity readers who would never, ever have allowed me to publish a book.
Right, so let me just share what I'm saying here. I've spent a few minutes scanning Matt Goodwin's academic paper, in which he makes scary predictions of the population in 2100. It includes this assumption: as net non-EU immigration exceeds both emigration and EU immigration. In recent years, all net migrants are assumed to originate from non-EU countries. This renders his projections meaningless. A quick search shows that 4 million, that is 6% of the population, were born in the EU, in the EU countries, while 6.8 million, 10% of the population, were born outside the EU. Okay, now this is a major problem. Okay, this is a major problem. You can see the issue with making that assumption. And you see, this is one of the issues, really, with Goodwin, which is that he must know basic stats not to get these things wrong. So I wonder, is he doing all of this as a deliberate wrecker? Is he doing it as a deliberate exercise in crashing reform and its credibility, okay, in undermining the right, you know, as a kind of deep state spook? That's one kind of conspiracy angle. I don't know if he's doing that or not, but you know, there are some questionable things in his background, certainly related to working with Hope Not Hate and things in the past. I will say, if that is the case, old Nick Lowells is in on the kayfabe, because he is joining in the roasting of Goodwin on Twitter. I'll also mention this thing about being censored in the press and so on. It's bollocks, right? It's bollocks. Number one, Bloomsbury, which is the press that, I mean, I have published 2 books with Bloomsbury in the past, and they didn't censor anything I said. And Douglas Murray, published a book, The Strange Death of Europe, with Bloomsbury. That book was not, you know, it kind of had lots and lots and lots of data in it, lots of solid arguments against net migration, and it was not censored by Bloomsbury. Those are mainstream presses. But there is a sufficient developed economy for kind of right-wing presses as well that would have easily and definitely published Goodwin. He could have gone with Imprint Academic, which I brought the Foundations of Shakespeare out with. He could have gone with any of the big American presses, you know, like the ones who bring out Thomas Sowell books. What's that one called? Regnery Press. He could have published with Imperium Press, right? There are so many. There are quite. It's not like there aren't presses that Goodwin could have gone to, and they would have helped edit the book, of course, and they would have, you know, checked it, and it would have gone through all the usual things, right? But he wouldn't have been censored. So that argument that he's coming up with is bullshit, frankly. It's absolute bullshit. I've got so many quote-unquote right-wing books here which kind of go harder than you expect, published with pretty mainstream presses. I mean, what's that one down there, When Nations Die? Who published that? I mean, it's what I'm saying is, it's just a lie. This line that he's giving is a lie, and I think everybody sees through it. Let's carry on.
Like Suicide of a Nation. I'm very proud of this book. I stand by this book. I stand by all of the numbers in this book. And I hope that as many people as possible engage with it, because I think it's the only book that is telling people the truth about how and why we are losing our country.
Matt, thank you very much. Andy, your turn to set out your stall.
So I think if publishing is completely captured by the woke left, it would seem that fact-checkers and copy editors are also. There are not just factual errors in this book, but just basic spelling and grammar ones. And it's not even misattributed quotes of Cicero, of Livy, of Hayek, of Scruton, of whomever. There are just basic untruths that Matt knows. It said in 2019 that Boris Johnson was in opposition. You were a pundit in 2019, Matt. You knew Boris Johnson was not in opposition. You go to quote him in that same phrase, and the quote from it is from the 2019 general election manifesto of the Conservatives. Tell me, who was the leader of the Conservatives and the sitting Prime Minister at that time?
Basic facts. Already Goodwin is getting owned by Andy Twelves.
You look at demographic claims. You know, readers are told with great confidence in your book, the census points to white British people becoming a minority by 2100. It doesn't. That projection does not exist in official data. It's made up. It is. Likewise, a parade of scholars, Anthony D. Smith, Walker Connor, invoked as if they endorse a rigid, ethnically fixed idea of nationhood. They didn't. In fact, Smith explicitly warned against it. I have a friend whose three-month-old baby now weighs twice as much as it did when it was born. If you were to look at that weight growth, you'd say that it would be 3.4 trillion kilograms by age 10. You don't recognised exponential growth. And it's not even occasional sloppiness. It's fundamental to the book. The quotes, Hayek, Scruton, Livy, Cicero, don't exist. Claims about immigration levels, welfare use, language decline, even baby names are just false. If you're going to open your book up with a quote about Arnold Toynbee and the suicide of nations, you might want to make sure your own argument isn't built on intellectual self-harm. This is...
You know, there's somebody who did write a pretty good book with a chapter on Arnold Toynbee. That's in Prophets of Doom. No slop GBT... AI used in that book, actual quotations used in that book. Maybe that's why Goodwin is doing this, to try to crowd out other genuine authors like me. Maybe that's why Goodwin's doing this. What do you think, people?
It's not political, it's just about truth.
Thank you, Andy. And Matt, you will absolutely get a chance to respond to all those criticisms. So let's start with the debate. Andy, what I'd like you to do is to put your major criticisms into a kind of a group, if you like. So if you could start off, what's one of your big critiques of the book? And then Matt will have free chance to defend himself.
So the big one, the quite clear one that doesn't get into statistical grey areas of misinterpretation is just quotes. There are lots of quotes from people that Matt says they said, which they just didn't say. They didn't say. You know, he accused me in the Daily Mail of focusing on Latin interpretations and Cicero. So let's get away from the late Roman Republic. Let's look at Sir Roger Scruton, who you said was one of your biggest influences in the New Culture Forum you did on this book tour. You said that Scruton warned, a society that cannot distinguish its friends from its enemies or that extends hospitality to those who despise its way of life is a society that has lost the instinct for survival. Scruton never said that. In the Daily Mail article you wrote, you said it was probably from the Heritage Foundation. I can't remember, was it in the Daily Mail or the Times? You said it was probably from his Heritage Foundation lecture. I read the transcript of that lecture right after you said that. He did not say it there.
He's just smoked him like a kipper. He's got you, Matt. Admit it. Be the bigger man and say, all right, Gov, I fucking made it up. All right, you've got me. Why is he trying to... He's trying to double down. Why? He smoked him like a kipper.
That is one contemporary scholar who has written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things and probably said things like that, but you didn't quote him correctly. It's the same for Anthony Smith. It's the same for Friedrich Hayek. It's the same for James Burnham. It's the same for Walker Connor. There are just basic quotes that were never said by these people. And I just don't think it's right to support your argument with false quotes.
Okay, Matt, what do you say to that?
Well, I think obviously a lot of people out there can see what's going on here, and I would dispute 99% of what Andy has just said.
Well, what's going on? Hold on, what's going on, Matt? 99% of people cannot see it. Everybody watching this is, broadly speaking, quote-unquote, on your side of the argument, but we still can't really see what's happening because the accusation is you've made up quotes. So... what's the answer?
Let's just be clear. Artificial intelligence is a research tool that every journalist, every academic, every data analyst now uses. Now, Andy, I...
No. That is not a defence, right? Everybody else is doing it. No, they're not. Not everybody's bringing out books with fake quotes in them. Not everybody is sloppy, so sloppy they don't remove the... trace of chat GPT in their footnotes. So it's not a case of everybody's doing it. You did it.
I believe I'm right in saying you've never written a book or you've not managed a large-scale data project that's gone through peer review. Everybody today uses AI as a research tool. If you are cross-checking your figures and statistics with official data sets, then it's a completely acceptable thing to do. What you have been suggesting for much of this week is that I haven't just used AI as a research tool. To quote you, you said AI has basically written large parts of this book and much of it. So last night, I found myself in the curious position of uploading my entire manuscript to about 5 AI detection sites. Now let's start.
Oh, my God. I can see what he's... All right, let's see.
Start with the best one in the world, ZeroGPT, the most advanced detector that we have. Here's what it said. We are highly confident this book is human content.
He's using AI to check the claim. You fucking loot. I just can't believe he's trying this on.
2.2% of this book is based on artificial intelligence. The average for books, by the way, is 10%. And as you will know, AI detection software overstates the level of AI. You've called me MatGPT. I ran it through ChatGPT. Do you want to know what...
He couldn't be more Alan Partridge if he tried. Perfect Partridge moment that was.
What ChatGPT says?
What did ChatGPT say?
It said, this does not read like an AI-written book. There is no credible evidence this book was written by AI.
In fact, this is important.
This is about integrity. In fact, the dominant signals in this book point the other way. There's pro-human authorship. There's emotionally driven language. There's escalating rhetoric. There's signature voice writing. There's long-range argument structure. There's intentional narrative control. You have deliberately... misled people this week by taking some historical quotations.
Where are the quotes from?
Historical
where are the
quotations
from?
Which are misattributed.
Just tell me where the quote is from. Just
to
one of
imply.
Them. Just one of them. Where's this?
12 is like, this is not an answer to what he said, right? Goodwin is, I mean, this is the effrontery of him to do this. Just come out and admit it. Just say, oh, I paraphrased, right? That would be a better answer than this. I paraphrased Roger Scruton, okay? What I really meant to say was, you know, I was taking the sentiment of what he meant in his last book. What was that one about, you know, the view from somewhere or something? I remember before he died, the Brexit book that he wrote. You know, I was approximating the basic argument he made in chapter 4, okay? I paraphrased him, all right? That would be a better answer than what he's tried to do here, Goodwin.
Why that I have written this
Where's
book
the Hayek quote
based
from?
Highly
can
on
I,
AI,
where
and
the
you
quotes
are
I'm jumping
incorrect.
In here as the
you
chair.
You should apologise,
then. You've had a week.
Gentlemen,
you've had a week.
Gentlemen, I am jumping where in here as the chair. From? The specific accusation, Matt, is not that you've used AI to write the whole book.
No, that's what Andy
said. The specific
said.
Accusation that Andy has made today...
The Goodwin trying this on... Have you ever seen a crash out this big? Just be the bigger man and admit, you must just say, admit it, to say, look, you know, the F.A. Hayek quote really was wrong. It was from the Constitution of Liberty, or it was from this essay from 1933, you know, where he was talking about Keynes, and I was just trying to give a flavour of what he was saying. Just say that. Just tell the truth. See, the thing is, I don't think Goodwin even has the knowledge of Scruton or Hayek or any of these authors to actually be able to just say what I've just said. That would actually make it better. You'd be like, okay, look, I didn't quite get the wording right, but it was a paraphrase of this work here. That's what, I mean, if it was me, that's what I would have done. I would have been like, okay, I didn't quite get it right. This is, I was getting the gist of what he was saying. Not that I would ever do what Goodwin has done, but this would be a better comeback than what Goodwin has tried to do, which is use yet more AI to bat against the claim that he's used AI, which is not what the dude said. Anyway, let's carry on.
On this show, is that there are various quotes that appear in your book that don't have references and that Andy and others can't find in cited literature. So we're not asking, he's not accusing you of writing the whole book by AI, might do later, but that's not the accusation now. Where did you find those specific quotes?
Let me give you an example and then I'll come back to the Scruton and the Walker
Just answer the question now. Oh, what a prick.
Our examples. One of the things I wrote in the book was this. The state should begin with the people closest to us, which was Cicero. Do you know what he actually said, according to a Cicero scholar in the Times this week? The supreme duty of the state is to protect its own citizens. So if there are misattributed quotes such as that, they will be corrected within 48 hours. But what Andy and the critics of this book are doing, let's just be clear, Miriam, because it's important. They are focusing on minor typos, like Boris Johnson being in opposition.
Not a minor typo,
a pretty major... I mean, I can give you an exact minor typo that appeared in my book, Populist Illusion. I can tell you this because it drives me up the wall whenever I see it. I still remember it. And, you know, these are the sorts of things that actually wind you up if you're a proper writer, is that, you know, right at the start of this book, I mention Jan 6th and I get the date wrong because it happened in 2021, not 2020. That is a minor typo. Boris Johnson being in opposition in 2019 is not a minor typo. That is quite a major factual error, right? That's the difference between a typo and a kind of glaring error, okay? And I could admit to my typo. I got that wrong and the editors missed it.
But it's a fundamental
It's
fact.
A minor typo.
It's a minor typo.
Because they don't want to engage with the argument of this book.
Well, we'll be getting into English as an additional
the argument
after this,
the argument of this book, let's be clear, is one that you completely disagree with. I would like to ask you a question. What part of the argument of Suicide of a Nation do you actually disagree with?
Well, I think the whole thing is just based on falsehoods, which we're getting into in the second segment.
Now there we go.
We're getting into the second segment.
Now there we go.
Come on, we've got the rules of the debate. Matthew, we've got the rules of the debate.
Why didn't you answer the point about Hayek and Scruton? Where did you get those quotes?
I know you like using AI. You've used AI to try and prove that you didn't use AI.
What do you think about the 2.2%? What do you think about the 2.2%?
Where did Anthony Smith, where did that quote from Anthony Smith? James Burnham, Friedrich Hayek. You were so arrogant to say that one of them put it bluntly when he'd never said it.
Do you know, how many books by Anthony Smith have you read?
More than you, seemingly, because you misquoted him in publishing.
Absolutely not.
Peer review. Did this book get peer reviewed? Was it reviewed by anyone at all?
If you really want to know, All of the demographic projections in this book Miriam, can I answer it? You asked me, has this book been peer reviewed by experts?
Sure.
Every single demographic projection in this book was reviewed by some of the world's leading demographers.
Absolute bollocks. Absolute bollocks. Absolute bollocks. Was that true? Which demographers checked your shit book, Matt? Come on.
Name them.
Name the demographers. He's not going to do it. Look, he's just been smoked like a kipper. It would show so much greater character to say, look, okay, I've been caught out, Gov. I'll try harder next time. Or to try to front it out like this. What an individual this guy is.
I've named them, Matthew. Or do you need to get on ChatGPT to find the world's leading demographers?
Andy,
where are the quotes from?
She's actually having to step in to defend Goodwin. He's getting hammered that much by Andy 12.
You've never done a peer-reviewed academic article. Anonymous.
He's not answering the question. Where are the quotes from?
He said, you've never done a peer-reviewed academic. The fact is, though, this book was not peer-reviewed. Your claim was that this book, every fact in the book had been checked by a world-leading demographer, and then you wouldn't name who that world-leading demographer was. This book was not blind, you know, double reviewed by like a journal article. Come on, Goodwin.
Would you be willing, Matt, to obviously you can't do this right now, but to provide evidence in public for those particular quotes?
What I've said, to be clear.
Would you be willing to provide evidence?
No, I'm just
Hold on. There we go.
Can we allow one another to speak?
As the chair, I'm asking a question.
What I'm going to do, and I've just said this already, is if there are historical quotations that are imperfect,
made up. So why couldn't you just say, look, I was paraphrasing something I half remember, and I couldn't be bothered to look it up. Put it in there, reference the book, and give a page number. This is why proper citation is important, because you will get called out. It doesn't matter if he's your ideological enemy or your friend. This is like 101. You will get called out if you make something up. And this is proving it. That's why every single thing in all of my books, none of it's made up. I always make sure chapter, line and verse, page reference, the correct edition. It's not just a reference to Hayek. It's a reference to, you know, where is it? Yeah, exactly this Hayek book. Yeah, exactly this Hayek book on page 81. There is where he said it. That's why you bother to do this stuff.
Be corrected within 48 hours.
Why weren't they corrected before it went to publish?
Before you asked hardworking people to pay their money in a cost of living crisis for this slot. Andy, grow
up. Why didn't you check it before you published it?
Andy.
I love the fact that he's called it sloth. High five, Andy 12s.
You come in here and you make a number of sweeping assertions about my work. You know this is based on a research report that is publicly available. That research report...
Nobody has
questioned the numbers in this because they know, based on the census and the same projections that are used by the Office for National Statistics...
That's fantastic. But we're talking about the quotes,
and reliable.
We're talking about the quotes, comrades. You can't even find things to support your argument, so you've got to make up quotes.
Where are any of these quotes from?
Your opening statement with the fact that you've written this book because nobody is telling the truth. Do you not therefore think it's important that things like quotes from famous figures of history are truthful?
Very good question, Not Dubes. Well done, Not Dubes.
If there are historical quotations in here that are imperfect, there's a couple, they will be correct.
No, he's admitted it. It's taken him 12 minutes to admit. 12 minutes to admit something he could have said 11 minutes ago. When you're in a hole, stop digging. This is good advice for young men. Don't be like Matt Goodwin. Don't dig a hole further for yourself.
corrected.
Why weren't they corrected before it went to publish?
I've answered
your
question.
So you'll permit to do that. But you will publish the correction.
But what I'm saying, this is important. What I'm saying is this debate is actually not about what Cicero said 2,000 years ago. This debate is about a guy who writes for Labour List, a guy who writes articles against reform,
also
a guy
writes
who
the Spectator.
Supports Labour and the Greens.
I don't support the Green Party.
Fundamentally,
that's another lie from Matt GP.
Just keeps digging. Now, he's got nowhere else to go, so he's going to attack Andy Twelves. Okay, but what are you going to do? Because the Spectator has had a go at him. I have had a go at him. Loads of people on Substack have had a go at him from the right as well as from the left. So what's his argument there?
Actually, did ChatGPT tell you that?
Did you not write that Zach Polanski was a breath of fresh air?
I said that the right wing were losing their mind over him.
There we go, Andy.
I said that the right wing were losing their mind over him. And it's seemingly true.
You disagree.
Was that a ChatGPT summary of the piece, or did you read
the argument? You disagree with the argument.
He's got these ChatGPT summaries, Miriam. It's disgraceful, truly.
She didn't write that.
Now, I don't support the Greens.
It is disgraceful. It is disgraceful that he, Goodwin, has turned up to this debate with one page of yet more AI-generated slop to defend himself. What a fucking disgrace.
Greens, Matthew. Again, another line.
Stop it, both of you.
Are you planning a trip this year? Well, staying connected when travelling abroad is the one...
Speaking of slop, this is one of the only times I've ever watched GB News. Let's go past this. Hold on.
Been defending the book and he's been bringing his charges. We've had some opening statements and we're well into the debate. So we're going to continue in the same theme as before. Andy's going to bring up a particular critique that he has of the book. Matt's going to defend himself and offer any other criticism to Andy, which he will then defend. And we'll end this segment with the chance for you both to sum up your side of the argument with a minute uninterrupted talk before we move on with the rest of the show. So Andy, what's your next critique of Matt's book?
So as Matt rightly said, I'm not an expert. I've never written a peer-reviewed study. I've barely got GCSEs. So I spoke to someone who is an expert and has written a peer-reviewed study. That's Professor Steve Strand, OBE, the Professor of Education and Fellow of St. Cross College at the University of Oxford. And when it comes to EAL, English...
it's just funny. It is funny the way they do it. Okay, all right.
English as an additional language, which you speak about a lot in the book. He says that you are just totally, quote, just totally misunderstanding what this measure of EAL is. He keeps talking about English not being young people's first language, but you could be recorded as EAL and still be totally fluent in English. So he's not really understanding the question that's asked that underlies that data, end quote. You represent in the book that children who are primary school children, this is, who are registered as EAL, do not speak English.
I don't say.
And that is not fair. You even made up a report of a school. You said that BBC West Midlands wrote in 2019 about a school where they speak more than 30 different languages. There is no evidence of that report.
There is.
This is what I'm saying. Is Goodwin a deliberate wrecker? Because everybody knows the sort of argument that has been like, but the fact that he's made things up, the fact that he keeps on misrepresenting the data in order to try to drive home whatever point he's trying to make is discrediting not only him, but all of the people who try to make this sort of argument. And it's also the very existence of this book is crowding out other books by better people. I remember when Lotus Eaters did their review of this, they listed about 7 or 8 better books than Goodwin's that you could consult that discuss exactly this, right? Which also put sucker to his claim that he's the only person telling people about this. That's just not true. There are lots of people, I would argue more reputable people at this point, putting that argument forward better than Goodwin did. So you can check out those books that they mention on the Lotus Eaters.
You then make up an Ofsted inspection report, say, quote from your book, one inspection report put it bluntly, many pupils join the school with extremely limited English. This significantly slows the pace of learning, end quote. I checked the school that you were talking about that was actually in the Birmingham Live report. I read every single inspection report, full inspection report on their Ofsted site. No quote like that exists.
See, this is if you take foundations of research and foundations of logic and the trivium, I talk about this. This is something that they teach you when you do a PhD, actually, right? is like, you know, when you're doing a PhD, you have to always look out for. I mean, you know, when I had research students and things, and even now when I talk to research students, you know, in my capacity in University of Buckingham and so on, I'll tell people like, look, you have to look out for the quibbler, right? The quibbler, because there's always going to be an Andy 12s, right? Some person who takes against you, who's going to go to the ends of the earth to just double and triple check that you're not taking shortcuts, okay? And in the world of academia, which has a lot of petty people in it, let's face it, a lot of people who hold grudges for many years and things like that, you have to make sure of this sort of thing. And Goodwin is just like, he knows all of this stuff. He's been a professor for years. So he's just like deliberately stepping on every single rake. And this Andy 12s is the quibbler personified. He's literally the quibbler come to life. And Goodwin is getting fucked up over it. BTFO'd.
Again, he's playing fast and loose with the truth. And this is primary school kids. This isn't the establishment or the new elite. These are kids that are 4 years old to 11 years old that he's trying to bait and make look like they're the enemy of society. And I think it's disgusting.
Okay.
How do you respond to that, Matt?
Okay. Well, all of that was absolute nonsense. Here's something that...
Professor Strand talking here's, nonsense. Here's,
right, you've had your
listen,
turn.
I was in universities for 20 years. I'm well aware of where the professors lie on these issues, all right? Here's something that Andy 12 said. I'm not going to dwell on who said what said, but I'm just going to make an...
Hold on. How is this a relevant rebuttal? What Andy 12 said is irrelevant to this point that he's trying to get you on here, which is where in the Ofsted report did it say this stuff? You've made the claim. You have to back up the claim. But now, I mean, whatever the point is, whatever Andy 12 has to say in his other writings, right? He could be a raging pro-transsexual lesbian, as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't make a jot of difference to what he's saying. So what Goodwin is doing in rhetorical terms is he's trying to shift from logic and from argument and from fact to character assassination. He's trying to shift from the logic over here to rhetoric, right? He's trying to use ethos as opposed to logos to try to redirect, right? What he's trying to say is Andy 12s is not an honest actor, Andy 12 is not a trustworthy fellow. So that means that what he has to say about my book don't matter. That's what he's trying to do here.
Important point. You said this week, actually, that you disagree with my suggestion that a majority of children do not speak English as their main language. And you talked about areas like Luton and Leicester. Nobody's actually debated me on these numbers because they know they're true. Look at primary schools. Here's the share, and people out watching this show need to know this. Here are the share of children, the percentage of children who don't speak English as their main language. Blackburn, 46%. Luton, 53%. Leicester, 59%. Tower Hamlets, 65%. Brent, 66%. Newham, 72%. In places like Coventry, Derby, Glasgow, Newcastle, Nottingham, Southampton, Wolverhampton, about one in three children in England today do not speak English as their main language.
They still speak English fluently.
Why am I making...
I'm just going to cut in there because other people have actually challenged that. So John Merrick, New Statesman writer, has said that he challenged your claim that in Chester East, 67% of school pupils speak English as additional language. He says he's looked it up. The government number is actually 10%.
Miriam, look, all of the numbers...
You're misdirecting English as an additional language as not speaking English.
The problem here, that what Andy 12 is trying to say here, and I understand it, because we're all familiar with these sorts of stats, right? What Andy 12 is trying to say is that these are kids that speak English and some other language, right? They've got some other language, not that they cannot speak English at all. Okay? And just think about it. How are you going to go to school, right, where 46, 50% of the class can't speak English? It's just factually incorrect claim. So this is the crux of this, that Goodwin has played, he's done a gypsy switch, basically, between two different stats. Kids who can speak two or more languages, okay, of which one is probably going to be English, right, with kids who cannot speak English at all.
The numbers that I've just read out are from official Department for Education data. Now, people on the left, like Andy, say, what's the problem with children speaking English as an additional language? It's basically your perception.
Yeah.
That's your view. It's your opinion. It's not fact. We're allowed to debate that. I find it incredibly disturbing that, for example, 1 million people in our country, according to the census, cannot speak English well or at all. I find it uncomfortable, as do, let me finish, please, as do millions of people in this country, that large majorities of children in our schools no longer speak English as their main language. Guess what? I know the less instinctive reaction is to control the conversation and shut it down, but the reason I wrote this book is because people out there need to know what is actually going on in our schools.
This is why getting the facts correct is important. Okay, and English as an additional language does not say that the kid can't speak English, which actually undermines the point you're trying to make. It just says that if from a household where the first language wasn't English, but you can still have tons of kids that speak perfectly good English, especially if they're 2 and 3 and 4 and things like that, even if they're not from an English household. So the problem is, by getting the stats wrong, you're getting bogged down, okay, in trying to make the point that you want to make. And it's obviously backfired. It's obviously not a good strategy from Goodwin, and it undermines the overall argument he's trying to make.
Should they pay 230 million quid over the last few years on translation services in public institutions? Do you think that's acceptable?
So that's got nothing to do with school children. Acceptable. That's got nothing to do with school children. And, you know, why should they pay $12.99 for that book is the question. Let me respond, Matthew. Let's talk about the facts. You're implying that this amount of students that are EAL don't speak English or don't speak it as well as their main or first language. That's absolutely untrue. Let's have a fact, shall we? At age 16, pupils recorded as EAL have an average attainment 8 score of 49.3 compared to the average of 46.9 for monolingual English speakers. So 3 GCSE grades higher. That's Lindorf Strand and Marr 2025. There's the reference. So people aren't not learning English. They're actually learning English and doing better in school,
Andy,
than their monolingual. That's a fact, Matthew.
I believe that number as well. That's probably true. Probably true. Okay, and look, we've got away from the point that Goodwin wants to talk about immigration, right? But by getting his facts wrong, he's down this cul-de-sac and he's given the left and Andy 12 an almighty win here. Okay, he's undermining his own side, Goodwin, whether wittingly or unwittingly. His shoddy work has come back in his face and it's actually discrediting anybody who wants to make this argument by playing fast and loose. Even during his comeback, right, he shifted, Goodwin did, from kids who could speak English or not speak English to translation services, okay? Well, those translation services aren't going to be for kids. They're going to be for adults and new arrivals, okay? Now, this is not to say that I'm cool with that or I want that or anything like that. The fact is, even within one sentence, he's shifting from one topic to another topic, right, in an extremely dishonest manner. Okay, and I can pick up on these little dishonest things, and if I can pick up on them, everybody else will be able to pick up on them as well.
Indeed. That is a fact.
It's an opinion.
Well, no, it's not an opinion.
1 million people in this country do
Miriam,
not speak
49.3.
English well.
Miriam,
or
is 49.3 higher than 46.9?
I think.
Please.
So. I think. Let
is
me.
It?
Well, now he's gone, right, from the initial figures that he read out, now he's gone to 1 million people. So 1 million people is a lot lower than the sort of percentages he was reading out already. If you think about what he started with, now he's just saying, well, it's 1 million people, which to my ears doesn't sound like a lot. It would be a lot bigger than that. If he was talking about 46% of this school and 50% of that school, okay, that sounds like a lot bigger than 1 million out of, what, 70 million people now. So anyway, let's carry on. Which is still obviously too many, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that he's undermining the argument by getting caught up in nonsense, getting caught up by getting basic things wrong.
Let me try and land on
the difference of opinion here. So, of course, whether or not you think it's a good thing or not that people have multiple language, that is a matter of political opinion, and we'll come on to that. But I think the challenge is, Matt, from Andy and others, is have you misunderstood the EAL data? Does the EAL data, the English as an additional speaker of other languages, does it tell us that children don't speak English, or is it just that they are exposed to other languages, because they are two very different things.
No, I understand.
Very good point, not dupes. Goodwin's even getting scored by not dupes here.
I understand what the debate is about. This book is about what does it
so
take...
Yeah,
but what's, what's the answer to that question specifically? Do you think you've misunderstood that definition?
No, I don't think I've misunderstood that definition. This book...
So you did it on purpose?
Right, let him answer.
That's worse.
It feels
let
like I'm
answer,
debating
Andy.
Two people rather than one.
It's because you're in the wrong, Matthew. That's
Andy,
why.
Absolutely. Come on, Skip. Keep on kicking him. Keep on kicking him, 12s.
I am just trying to get specific answers to the specific
Am
things.
I actually allowed to
you
speak?
You are. Go
or,
for it.
Right, because, you know, I'm all for fair debate. If you want to hold a nation together, you need a shared language, because without a shared language, you don't have a shared culture, you don't have a shared identity, you don't have a shared sense of collective memory, and you don't have a shared way of life. The reason I look at what's going on in nurseries, in primary schools, in secondary schools, and the rise of bilingualism or multilingualism is because, as Samuel Huntington pointed out 25 years ago with regards to other countries around the world, what you end up doing over time is you fragment the things that hold a nation together. I'm deeply concerned about a fact that Andy has avoided throughout this debate. For example, not only that
he's
we
not
have
addressing his misrepresentation, he's moving
wait,
on.
Wait,
he's
wait.
Moving on. He
and
lied
wait.
About the Ofsted
Andy,
report. He's lied about
Andy,
the numbers. He's
I'm
lied about primary school kids.
I will make sure those questions are answered.
I
am finished.
I find it deeply disturbing, the numbers that I just read out, like I find it deeply disturbing that at least 1 million people in our country cannot even speak our national language.
Notice he's gone from kids again to people again. From kids to people. That number sounds low to me. I thought it would be a lot more than 1 million, but anyway.
Well, or at all. I know the left don't care about this. I do. I'm happy to be unpopular for pointing these things out. There's a lot in here you've not picked me up on as well, like the enormous numbers of people in some areas who reject our English, British and UK identity.
You gave me two segments, Matt.
That's not on. You've
two
not
segments.
Talked about that
they gave
at
me two
all.
Because yeah. there are things that, you know,
because
you,
it's from the census.
You can get into the misinterpretation of all of that, but these are objective lies. You know, EAL as well isn't in the census.
It's an opinion,
in the school census.
Andy.
It's in the school census. That's by the by. Quote, many pupils join the school with extremely limited English. This significantly slows the pace of learning. End quote. What Ofsted report is that from?
The Bell Foundation report, their submission to the parliamentary
the
committee.
The inspection report? You made it seem like that's an Ofsted report, Matthew.
For
you're villainising primary
viewers at
schools.
Home who are going to find this rather niche, let me just explain.
But you're lying about kids,
Matthew. There is a view on the left that none of this is a problem. There is another view on the right that what we're seeing in classrooms today is so overwhelming for teachers that they find it hard to deliver their jobs. There is also a point that nobody's mentioned in this debate so far, which is what about native English-speaking kids, British kids? What about them being in classrooms with multiple dozens of languages and so on? What about the impact on those children today relative to their predecessors 20, 30, 40 years ago? I'm going to have this debate out because I care about this country. You can't shut me down by trying to focus on...
Again, it's dishonest to say that he's trying to be, they're trying to shut him down, or it's the establishment out to get him, or it's the leftist. This is such all dishonest frame games from Matt Goodwin, which I see straight through. Because he again, has been extremely slippery with the facts, and he keeps on slipping, right, between different categories, even throughout this conversation. Just like how he's slipped effortlessly from kids to total people.
Minor data points because you're uncomfortable with the wider argument I'm making in this book.
So looking at 34 years ago, literacy is far higher today amongst the English native population, as you would put it, than it was 30 or 40 years ago. Educational standards, up. Every single metric, up. And again, these kids that are EAL, most of them speak English extremely
fluently.
What do
you say to Matt's allegation that you and others are only...
Well, incidentally, I disagree with Andy 12s there. I think there's been decline. And I think that the official statistics are just evidence of dumbing down of standards, reduction of standards. Of course, if Goodwin could think on his feet, he might have said that. But anyway, let's go.
Only criticising this book because you disagree with the arguments within it.
I'm criticising it because it's full of lies. I would do the same if it was someone on the left. I actively, you know, the left are far more factional than the right. I actively get amongst it with comrades on the left that I disagree
with
and that are incorrect.
On the left.
And that are
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I believe that, because I've seen leftists in action. They're always bickering with each other and arguing with each other. Inter-leftoid discourse is more, even more vehement and violent than inter-rightoid discourse.
completely incorrect. Well, you know, we'll talk about your comrades on the right, you know, on the New Culture Forum. Was it New Culture
Let's
Forum?
Just start.
You spoke about the Restore Britain boys and that they'd ruin their credibility. When you put out an AI slot book.
Andy's
full of
asked
lies.
Me a lot of questions. I can't ask him any
questions. Because you're
lying. Can I ask him, one question?
I have just put to you the question that you asked, which is that whether or not he is making these allegations because of political differences.
No, it's because it's full of lies. That's why.
Okay.
I care about the truth.
Right. We're very shortly going to come to your closing statements while you'll have 1 minute each to sum up your argument. So I'm just going to put a couple of questions first.
And Goodwin is so dishonest and so slippery and slimy and Partridge-like as well. It's actually a disservice to Alan Partridge. I think Partridge is actually more honest than Goodwin.
Andy, would you accept, if Matt makes the small corrections that he has said he's going to make about quotes and going through it with a fine-tooth comb, if he makes those corrections, are you then happy that, even though you disagree with this book, you think it's a fair summary of his opinion?
Unless he's going to correct the mischaracterisation of English as an additional language of school children, no, I wouldn't. The quotes, yeah. But English additional language, the villainisation of primary school kids, no.
The villainisation of primary school children.
Matt, you'll have your chance in a minute. Do you regret, my question, not fact-checking it more rigorously before you published it?
I think there are a number of very minor things that will be corrected very quickly. But the broad argument here and the overall book, I completely stand by. I think it's going to be...
Well, it can't be that quickly because you printed out tons of copies and I've seen you sitting with them and signing books and things. You actually got them printed all out. That was a bit premature, wasn't it? Maybe you should have gone to a print-on-demand business model. It would have made it easier to correct the book.
One of the most important books in contemporary history. It's already become a major...
It is not one of the most important books in contemporary history. What a grandiose, stupid claim is that? It is not in any way important. I can guarantee you that this book will be forgotten and it will not be widely cited or held up or stuck on reading lists in 5 years, 10 years, things like that. And now we still refer to Douglas Murray's Strange Death of Europe because as much as I dislike Douglas Murray for being a Zionist and so on, he did a good job on that book. Okay? People who dislike me, people who actively, vehemently dislike me, still cite Populist Delusion because it was a good book, right? Nobody's going to be citing this. It's dead on arrival. Because of the sloppy job he did. He's never going to get over this. We're watching Goodwin commit, I don't know if I can say that word on YouTube, but you know what I'm saying. He's kind of doing in his own credibility in real time.
Your reference point, it is flying out the stores and people know they're being lied to.
Okay, right. You're going to have 1 minute each to set out your closing positions and then we'll get back to the rest of the show as normal. Andy, I'm going to let you go first.
You know, a major reference point, yes, for what misinformation in the 21st century age of AI looks like. That's what it's a major reference point for. I think the carelessness with the truth, the seemingly AI hallucinated slop quotes it's brought up, the misinterpretation of EAL, the misinterpretation of demographic growth, all of that, I think Matt should be apologising. I think he should be apologising to the 100,000 people that subscribe to his Substack, the millions of viewers on this channel that have, they're hardworking people.
Yeah, you should be apologising, Goodwin. A little more humility. And I've noticed this speaks to his very bad character. When he lost to Hannah Spencer, okay, he didn't shake her hand. He stuck his chin out like that and looked kind of defiant during the loss, the L that he took to Hannah Spencer. And then he came out and he accused Hannah Spencer of cheating in that seat. There has since been an investigation into that and they found no widespread evidence whatsoever of family voting in the seat, right? So that shows that Goodwin is a bad loser, a poor sportsman, doesn't have a sense of fair play, okay? Doesn't have a sense of sportsmanship. And if you know, he talks about British values, this is the essence of British values, fair play, sportsmanship, being able to take, you know, to take a loss like a good man, like a good chap. And he's showing the opposite of all of these things. Bad character. It speaks to bad character. And I don't respect it at all.
class people who are struggling in a cost of living crisis, who he's made pay $4.99 for the Kindle edition or $12.99 or whatever it is for the paperback, because this is just full of lies and it's not worth spending the money on, and he's disrespecting them by not checking it before it went out.
Andy, thank you. And Matt, to close. 1 minute.
I stand by every single piece of evidence in this book. It has been peer-reviewed by some of the world's leading demographers.
Lie has not been peer-reviewed. It has not been peer-reviewed. And the world's leading demographers have not checked. It's obvious that that's a lie.
Can I finish?
Right, he's done interrupted. You can have an extra 10
seconds. It has been peer-reviewed by some of the world's leading demographers. Anyone who knows peer review knows it is anonymous. It is based on the UK census. It is based on the same...
If it was peer-reviewed, he wouldn't have brought it out on a self-published press. It's just bullshit, Matt.
Same demographic projections that are used by the Office for National Statistics. It is based on 20 years of my own research. It is based on 4 months of intensive writing that took me away from my family and friends. It is based on a project which even, as I've said tonight, official detection software says only 2% of it is based on AI. And frankly, I find it insulting the way in which you've used one or two minor things that will be corrected to attack an argument that the British people need to engage with before it is too late. Because what
a scullious rat. Very rat-like in his face and in his demeanour and in his low animal cunning, if you ask me.
What is happening to this country has no democratic consent, and what is about to happen in this country, it might not bother people on the left, but millions of people out there will find it deeply disturbing. This is the only book that will tell them the truth.
Only one. It's not the only book. There are tons of other books, as noted by the Lotus Eaters.
Okay, thank you both.
Well, there we have it. He was even worse than I thought he'd be. Lack of honesty, lack of fair play, lack of sportsmanship. Lack of being able to just, like, it would show good character to just come out and say it took him 12 minutes to admit that the quotes were made up and that they needed to be corrected. And then he was hit again and again and again by 12s. It's a problem to have charlatans like this on your side. Later on in the week, because I've written down all the videos I'm going to make, I'm going to look at the rightsoid and the problem of the rightsoid. And the trouble is, it's the rightsoid who's going to be the sort of individual who's going to be suckered in by Goodwin. And we need to diagnose what the rightsoid is and how best to get out of the mindset of being a rightsoid. Anyway, I'll be back soon. I'm also going to review Starkey and Jeremy Hunt later in the week. But this was fun, wasn't it? A nice way to start Tuesday morning. Pick up a course, buy any one of my books before you buy Goodwin's books, because that's what Goodwin is there for. Goodwin is there to try to muscle out better authors, not just me, but all of my mates as well. All of the people, all the books I've talked about, all of these books we talk about over and over again. So many great books you could be reading instead. And there he is. Trying to crowd out, trying to take up the space for himself. Absolute wrecker, saboteur is what he is. And really, if our side was serious, Reform would kick him out. All of the people associated with him would kick him out because he's done himself in. If I had to make a prediction, that won't happen because people are not serious. Until we get serious, parties like the Green Party are going to gain ground. Parties like Reform are going to lose ground because one side is playing to win and the other side is just playing to grift. Anyway, get out, go on.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.